a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
It's a game Cougar fans have circled for a long time as Bronco Mendenhall makes his return to Provo as the Cougars welcome in the Virginia Cavaliers. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 7 with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Players Club.
The Zone's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club. Sponsored by UCCU as BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joins Unrivaled.
Touchdown!
For an insider look at the Cougar football team. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone.
The best station.
Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of the Players Club right here on KSL's, switch it up. Yes, this week it is, of course. We are now with 97.5 1280 The Zone of The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for being with us. And if you are unfamiliar with the Players Club, well, here's what it is. We have Jaren Hall every week right here with us on the program. Myself, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell over here to the right, and Jaren Hall joining us in Provo. So, Jaren, I'm glad you got back safe. How was Pullman, man?
It was an interesting place, man. Small town feel, great people, good football. It was a good weekend.
What was the vibe there, you know, with the fans and everything, and considering all of the craziest that happened with Nick Rolovich and his firing during the week? What was the, you know, the vibe and the feel from everyone in the stadium?
I don't think you would have noticed the difference, man. Those fans were electric. They were loud the whole game. They were fired up, ready to go. So it was a fun place to play, honestly.
We were talking about how, you know, how different everything, like every week is just different, you know, every week is presents its new challenges. Everything's totally different from one week to the next.
Yeah.
And, you know, game number 8 of the year, and you guys haven't had a bye yet this year. And it's been a lot of football 2 months in a row. Has it dragged, like, what's that been like to have those 8 games in a row, no break, and to just be going at it since, you know, September 3rd?
Uh-huh. It's been fun. Honestly, I think it's gone super fast. I mean, I'm sure for some people it might feel like a drag, but I think for the majority of the players, you're doing so much stuff during the week, so much prep and film time, and you got school and your social family life. The season, honestly, it just flies by. Every minute filled with something. So it's been a pretty quick 7 or 8 weeks now, and it's been fun.
So now that you've had a chance to have the game and get it all behind you, how much of a distraction was everything that went last week? Because it was a story that kind of had national implications, and and it was so bizarre. I mean, you know, just everything that happened. So, how much of a distraction did it create for you guys going into the game, and then and in your preparation, and even maybe during the game?
Yeah, I think we still prepared, you know, more than less. You know, we didn't really worry about what might be different or what the coaching change is going to bring, but we just looked at it from, okay, in the past, us personally, when we miss coaches or players. We'd always played our best, honestly, last year during the COVID season. And so we looked at it from that standpoint. Okay, these guys are going to be ready to go. They're going to be fired up. They're going to be rallying together to give us their best shot. And so we just made sure that we were prepared the best we could be.
What was it? Was it the same? Was it what you prepared for? I mean, were there a lot of surprises, or were you like, yeah, this is kind of what we thought they would be, or were there things that were different?
No, from a defensive standpoint, it was exactly what we prepared for. You know, their DC was still there. They were still calling the same stuff. So it was exactly what we were prepared for. Offensively, I'm not sure what our defense saw from their offense. Feels any different. Seemed to be the same, you know, run and gun stuff. But they did play a lot slower. You know, felt like they were taking some slow drives, chewing up the clock as much as they could. So I don't know if that's normal Wazoo offense or not. Maybe that's something different from the coaching change. That's the only thing I kind of felt as I was playing. Well, anything different.
So, offensively, you guys, I mean, I don't remember the last time a BYU running back, maybe it happened more frequently than I'm thinking, but I don't remember the last time that a BYU running back had over 30 carries in a game. And Tyler just, I mean, he just worked it, and to get to 191 yards, six per, and really it was that, I think this is the third or fourth game of the year that he basically locked out an opponent. Yeah. With his legs in those final, yeah, in that final drive, because then, yeah, nobody can stop the clock. Explain a little bit of like how, I mean, it was like he got his best work done in that third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, for sure. The third and fourth quarter, I mean, we only had four drives, I think. You know, we scored the first two, the third, you know, the three and out, and then the last drive was our drive to finish the game, the 4-minute drill. And so, you know, we thought we'd get at least another drive or two to go and score, but then they just kind of kept chewing up the clock. And by the time we got it back, you know, 4.5 minutes left, and it was go time. You know, 4-minute offense, feed the ball to Tyler, and let our O-line, you know, lead the way for him. And sure enough, they got it done.
So for you personally in the game, what do you feel went well for you?
We took care of the ball really well. You know, I think we were very efficient, you know, throwing the ball. We didn't throw a ton, but when we did, we made it count. Then obviously our offensive line, our tight ends blocked their tails off. The receivers and the running backs ran super well. I mean, that's the story of the game. You know, when you can rush the ball for as many yards as we did, it's going to be tough to lose games, honestly, you know, as long as you have an efficient passing attack to go with it. So that was a key factor for us, to just fill the game, to run the ball, and take advantage of the physicality.
Yeah, that sounds like a commercial. didn't throw the ball a lot, but when we did throw it, threw it very well.
Well, I mean, that's an efficient day too. I mean, 15 for 20, and I think a lot of people were looking at it, and Puka got to carry the ball a couple of times, but I think everybody was anticipating a lot more targets. Maybe it's because Wazoo was anticipating a lot more targets.
Yeah, no, they did. They didn't give us as much space as other teams. They didn't give us the one-on-one matchups as often as other teams did, and I think that was part of their game plan, was to keep everything in front of them and, you know, avoid some of those explosive plays we've been having in the passing game the last couple of weeks. And they did a good job of that. But, you know, when you have as good a running backs in O-line as we do, you know, we can just take advantage of the front, and that's what we did.
So now that you've had this game under your belt and you're playing through the season, there's always something that you learn, a big takeaway from a game. What was your big takeaway from this past week?
Oh, man, I had a couple of them, but I think the number one is just, you know, when you take care of the ball as a team, it's going to be hard to lose games, you know, no matter how many points you score. I think every game, you know, we look at it, we'd love to be more explosive because we know our potential as an offense, but at the end of the day, you know, all you need is 1 point to win a game. And so for us, you know, after that game, was just a great job taking care of the ball. Their defense, I think, was third in the country in takeaways, especially on third down. They had a very, you know, different third down package that they get a lot of teams into making mistakes, and we had a good game plan for it, and we took really good care of the ball, and I think that was the story of the game, you know, for that close ending.
This is a thing for you, I think, obviously, because the guy who you are in contact with every play, mm-hmm, it's you and the center who touch the ball every play, and yeah, you guys have one of the best that we've seen in a long, long time at BYU, and James Empey, and he goes down with an injury. And, I mean, Connor Pay has stepped up. How did they anticipate that? Because, I mean, in the end, I guess maybe it was like, look, we know James Empey already wasn't 100% going into this last week. Does he get extra reps during the last week in preparation for this, or was he just that good to kind of step in? I would assume you guys got some work last week together.
Yeah, so every week you have the ones go, and they'll get their reps, and then you split up the team reps, and you get the twos in. So Connor will go into center with the twos when he's not playing guard with the ones, and he'll get the center snaps there. So he's always getting reps every week. We do CQ stuff before practice, during practice with all the different centers. And for that very reason, you know, just, you know, heaven forbid anybody ever goes down, but you got to be prepared. And Connor did it last year in the bowl game when James was out, and, you know, did it again today.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask is that you know, it's one thing for Connor to step in, but it's also been – I mean, James is one of these guys who's probably NFL ready. He's going to be a playing on Sunday guy.
Yeah.
And so for that, I mean, to see him come out and he had the crutches and the boot on, I think that was disheartening, I think, for a lot of BYU fans to see how good this guy is and how big a part of that offensive line he is. Yeah. What does the center do? What does he do specifically for that O-line group and for your team in that huddle?
James, a commander, man. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever met off the field, first of all, just a genius. And then on the field, he doesn't have any drop-off. The dude's always dialed in. He's sharp with his calls. You know, as a quarterback, you got a center like that, you never have to worry about protection issues. You know, he's always going to make the right turns and the right calls. So it really just – it speeds things up for us, speeds things up for you know, how many snaps we can get in because he's so dialed in. And then it's just his physical ability, how athletic he is. And, you know, I would have command the line with our other linemen. James is a stud, man. And it's sad to see him go down, man. It breaks my heart.
So you've had a few injuries on the offensive line, but really they stepped up big time in this game.
Oh, yeah.
And did a nice job closing it out. What did that mean to you?
It just shows the heart of those guys. I mean, those are the guys that really matter. I mean, everybody else gets the credit. You see it in football all the time at every level. You know, they're never making the fancy, showy plays. They're not scoring touchdowns, but. I mean, if you're a real fan of football and understand the game, you realize those guys, that's the heart of every football team, the offense and defensive line. And they, you know, every one of our wins against our big opponents has come down to a 4-minute drive where we've had to go down and just impose our will physically and finish the game. And those guys are always the ones leading the way. And so I love those guys, man. They really are the heart of this team.
Baylor goes down in this game as well. It was a weird kind of, on the replay, it was kind of just a weird tweak, you know. It didn't look like it was a ton, but... He limps off, and he's listed as doubtful for that game this weekend, too. So you have depth at wide receiver you guys haven't had before. This is when it really counts.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's I feel so bad for Gunner, man. It's twice now. You know, same kind of play, a sweep out wide, and he's got rolled up into. You know, I hope he gets back, you know, super, super quick because he's a stud. And when we have him out there, it opens everything up, and it makes the defense have to worry about another threat.
What's been the evolution of these wide receivers this season? And it seems like with Puka, you kind of gotten a rhythm. What have you seen from them, and how have they been developing over the year?
Yeah, each of them have their own skill sets. You know, things that they bring to the offense that add to, you know, kind of our identity of who we are and what we are able to do. I think that's why you've seen us win so many different games, so many different ways. Is because every guy there brings something different. You know, when something's not working, then we can go to something else that they have. So really their development has been over years. You know, Neil Pau has been here for a while. You've seen him develop and become, you know, one of the best receivers on our team, if not the most, you know, the best guy in our receiving core with his experience. And then the other guys are just playmakers behind that too. You know, everyone's worked their way through. Gunner for 4 years has grinded it out and become a leader on this team and been an absolute presence down the field making plays. And Sampson and Puka, their athleticism and what they bring. And then the guys behind them too. You know, I could go through the list of all of our receivers who have played big roles this year at some time. So it makes life easy as a quarterback, man. It's fun.
And part of the success you have running the ball is – you know, that downfield blocking, because sometimes receivers, they it's like I catch the ball, I don't block kind of thing, and these guys do a good job of downfield blocking as well.
Yeah, I mean, Fessy, he and A-Rob both. I mean, they instill that in our receivers to be the most physical players out there. You know, and that's been part of our offense for years. You know, being violent and reliable, and I think our receivers really took that to heart this year. I mean, they've gotten a lot bigger over the years, stronger, and you see that way they run the ball, and the way they block. Where they make plays in the air on the ball, it's pretty impressive, honestly.
That's like the weirdest like resume builder. I'm violent and I'm responsible. I'm reliable, but I'm also very violent.
Well, it's right? Violently responsible. Violently is how you actually
quantify. Time and a place. Time and a place.
I'm curious with these wide receivers in so many subtle ways. What have they done to you, like pulled you aside and just and how have they bribed you and just said, hey, you know, how or how have they gained your confidence?
I feel like
not much bribing these days. You know, these receivers, they're so good all the time.
Oh,
and,
so
you know,
they're usually
pretty dialed in. They know what's going on. They just kind of tell you what they're seeing. You know,
they'll
give you slight.
I'm not talking about this game. I'm talking about during the week.
So I know, for sure.
They're all every
single day. You got conversations. You know, we'll text back and forth, guys. Talk about film. Well, what they're seeing when they're watching film. But
you know what I'm really
open on. They haven't offered
on.
Much, man. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe about the.
See, I had a wide receiver one time. He sent me his highlight tape. So I was in the NFL, and he was a first round. He was a good wide receiver, but the two other guys were
Pro Bowl
were
guys.
Pro Bowl guys.
Yeah.
And
he's out of luck, man.
And he's like, and I know exactly. You never had anyone send you a highlight tape, though, right?
I'll send you mine, Jaren. It's fine.
Feel free.
Get you on my
free.
Turkey.
Need,
get
I
you on my Turkey Bowl
plenty.
Team.
I need all the football I can watch.
Get the reps in.
The highlight tape was good. I mean, it was entertaining. Yeah,
I love the idea that you put it in and watch it. It's probably on a VHS.
Of course,
too.
I did. Well, it was back then.
They still work. They still got TVs.
Well, no,
you convert them now.
We can go to my mom's house. Okay. You can probably get the VHS working. All right, Jaren Hall and the Players Club. We're talking a little bit, kind of breaking down a little bit of this Wazoo game, and you said the season's gone really fast. Like, I mean, it does seem wild because it also feels like 100 years ago that you guys were in Vegas taking on Arizona. Just like so many things have happened since then. So how do you look at that? How do you look at the schedule going forward? I know you take it one game at a time, but you're in the last third of the season here. These last four games are massive to be able. I mean, you guys have a chance to be a double-digit win team. Do you guys talk about that as part of now kind of some of those new goals that you guys are setting?
No, I mean, on a team level, you know, we never get ahead of ourselves in that way at all. I mean, personally, you know, when you're talking to your boys, you might talk about things like that when you're just chopping it up. And it's fun to kind of talk about, you know, what could happen and all the cool things you could accomplish, the goals you have. But as a team, you know, we really honestly just try to focus on each week. You know, when you start getting ahead of yourself, then you start losing sight of some of the small things you need to do, you know, and start getting distracted by other things that haven't happened and don't matter. So for us, we really just try to stay locked into every week. Because, you know, that'll be a lot more to celebrate when the day comes when you got, you know, the two-digit wins and, you know, trying to celebrate it now when it hasn't happened, I guess.
There's our first part of our discussion with Jaren Hall. We've got much more to go here with our discussion with him. And just wanted to mention, though, just in the last few minutes here, within the last hour, the University of Utah has announced, by the way, before we get back to our Players Club, Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe will be honored this weekend. They're going to retire the number 22 jersey officially this weekend against UCLA. That will be an amazing thing to be a part of. Every game, Scott, we were up in the stands for
ASU game.
The ASU game, and they had the 22 seconds of silence, which they're going to do before every game as it is. Or I guess then they do the between the third and fourth quarter, they kind of do this celebration of
22
life.
Seconds of celebration.
And it's pretty cool to see. And they played the
both
video
are very
last
touching.
Time.
Amazing.
This weekend, I think you're just going to get another burst of just emotion from this football team because they're going to retire that number 22.
And all of the schools around the conference have just been very gracious and nice and respectful and have had their own tributes and their own moments of silence or whatever they've done.
So. You know, as we talked with Jaren Hall during the Players Club, we asked him about, you know, what they've gone through and things like that. These guys are already in the middle of so much going on in their lives. It's like there is nothing else going on. If you try to tell them, oh, yeah, here's what's going on in these other football conferences or, you know, if they're not playing somebody, they don't know what's going on with that team at all. They go, oh, I haven't been following any of that. I'm just 100% focused on this. But all the local players and local teams, they're it's one of those things where everybody goes, they're aware of it, you know, and it's an important thing for these guys to all be able to chat and have this. Their friends go back and forth and they talk about this, but and now that they've got the Aaron Lowe Memorial Scholarship and the Ty Jordan Memorial Scholarship, that jersey is going to be retired number 22. Kyle already said it earlier in the season. He goes, look, no one's going to wear 22 as long as I'm the coach here. And now they're just going to make it official that number 22 is going to be retired forever for the University of Utah. I think it's an amazing thing.
And the 22%, you know, just a little, you know, just give 22% more.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of that effort thing.
22% better every day. Isn't that what it is? Yeah. So it's a cool thing. And so that'll be an emotional moment, I think, during this weekend's game when they retire that number 22 jersey.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.